I'm pleased to welcome back to the WLRH studios. It's the middle of July. We don't usually see Maestro Gregory Voited till the fall, but we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Enjoying the humidity?
Oh, always. That's my favorite part, anyway, of the season. You know, I was just reading, like, there are six seasons in Alabama.
I was reading one of those jokes on Facebook,
mm-hmm. This is the gate of hell, I think.
Yes, like, you're correct.
Yeah, right after summer.
But you were here to conduct a concert last Saturday. I'm sorry I missed it. It was at the old Academy for Academics and Arts. Tell us about that.
It was just a great, you know, great fun and great pleasure because we're trying to start something here. We're calling it the Summer Night Symphony, and I constructed a light classic program with, you know, Rossini, mm-hmm. Overture and Bernstein and music like that, and some John Williams, of course. And we're trying to reach out to an audience that doesn't necessarily come to the VBC. Oh, and by the way, there's plenty of parking there, so
yes.
it's great.
My kid went to school there.
And it was just a great, you know, spirit, and we had stuff for the kids beforehand, and it was a great audience, and Element 11 was playing before and after the concert, so I think this is my first time having like a band playing before and after, uh-huh. after the main act, which was the Huntsville Symphony. And Devin Keith, the president of the city council, was talking a little bit about the importance of art and how we would like to keep this up and just bring music to people everywhere around in the Huntsville area.
I think that's wonderful. But beginning in September, we're going to kick things off with a special tribute to the state of Alabama.
Yes, it's still the bicentennial celebration. Do not forget about that. The entire year of 2019 is part of the celebration. And of course, you know, the end of our last season and the beginning of this new season of the AGSO kind of covers the celebration year. And we're opening with a world premiere, actually.
And I don't have the recording. You might find that hard to believe.
It's a very short, very sweet piece called Alabama March by a young Hungarian composer. It was funny when I was just actually on Facebook, which happens often. And so he just sends me this picture via Messenger saying, oh, hey, I'm sitting in the pub where we sat last time. And I just finished this composition. And he took a picture of this handwritten sheet music that said, Alabama March. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's some inspiration there, and let me see it. And so I think it's just the perfect way to show how, you know, art can actually carry the name of a city or introduce a community in other parts of the world, you know, remote parts like Hungary.
Yeah, or Huntsville, Alabama. So that's on the program, a lovely little piece by Haydn and Brahms Symphony No. 2.
Yeah, well, the Haydn is to feature our wonderful players in the ages. So it's a Sinfonia Concertante, kind of like the one you probably know by Mozart. You know, he has two, mm-hmm. one for violin and viola and orchestra, and the other one for winds and orchestra. So this one is a mix. It's oboe, bassoon, violin, cello, and orchestra. And it's about 25 minutes. And it's just a lovely concerto piece for these instruments and orchestra. And then the second half, of course, is Brahms 2, the Brahms Symphony that I haven't done here in Huntsville uh-huh. yet. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm wondering if this is one of Brahms' favorites, because he wrote it when he was on vacation and he was joking with his publisher about how gloomy it was going to be, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it's probably his most lighthearted symphonies. And you know, Brahms is always, first of all, Brahms is always a challenge, but Brahms is always just a great, you know, honor to touch Brahms and, mm-hmm. and to conduct it, to try to make it to come to life. And of course, this is not my first time conducting it, but every time you revisit Brahms, it's a real journey.
Thank you.
I think Brahms had a particular affection for this piece. He was on vacation when he wrote it, and it's been compared to Beethoven's Symphony No. 6, his Pastoral Symphony. It's just so jolly and outdoorsy.
And this was the last movement, beginning of the last movement, which was really showing, well, you know, the masterful orchestration that he could do, and also just the character, the overall character of the symphony.
I could sit and listen forever, but we have an entire season to cover. This is just the beginning. The Brahms is just the beginning. The first concert for the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra is Friday, September the 27th, with Haydn, Brahms, and a tribute to the state of Alabama. Now, I asked Gregory before we went on the air, the next concert is Friday, November the 22nd. How are you going to do a Beethoven 9 without Billy Orton?
Well, yeah. I don't really know. I mean,
I guess we'll find out.
It feels like, you know, I've been working with Billy forever, and it's a new beginning, I guess, and I'm looking forward to working with the community chorus again. And this is not our first time doing Beethoven 9, right? This time it's paired with another symphony number 9,
which I kind of love. I had forgotten about how cool it is. What a great piece!
It's Shostakovich Symphony number 9, which is. I think it's his shortest symphony. Maybe there's a competition with symphony number 1, but aside like the 4th and 5th movement, this symphony is also kind of like on the lighter side, mm-hmm. meaning it's not very depressing, it happens often with Shostakovich.
Right. It reminded me of the Prokofiev Classical Symphony.
A little bit, yes. Yeah. And so I thought that, you know, we have this gigantic, long Symphony number 9. How fun would it be to pair it with a short Symphony number 9?
Yeah, and there's such a cool series of stories surrounding Symphonies number 9 in general, because Beethoven set the bar with his Symphony number 9, and all other composers who came behind him are like, how am I going to compete with this? And Shostakovich didn't even try.
No, he didn't try, especially because his, you know, symphonies 7 and 8 are big. Mm-hmm. I think it was a great idea for him to just kind of write I think it also kind of rhymes with Haydn. And, you know, you said, it's the classical symphony on the shorter side, and the orchestration is lighter, so it's not a huge orchestra. And it's just a lot of fun. I think for this concert, we just picked the most popular excerpt.
Yes, and you'll probably recognize it.
From all music history.
Yeah. Uh-huh. every single time I play this. I get tons of requests for this on Friday. Every time I play this on the radio, I tell the listeners, you have got to hear this live at least once
Absolutely,
in your lifetime.
Yes.
There's nothing like it. And I know the Huntsville Community Chorus is looking forward to singing again. I don't imagine you'd ever get tired of performing Beethoven now.
I don't think you do. You know, apparently in Japan, they play it every day somewhere in Japan. Beethoven 9 mm-hmm. is being played, yes.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to hear it live coming up in November with the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra, the Huntsville Community Chorus, and an outstanding bunch of soloists who have performed with the orchestra before and have just thrilled audiences across the Tennessee Valley. Don't miss Beethoven 9. Mark your calendar, Friday, November 22nd. The first two concerts are on Fridays because you have other plans?
No, we don't. The audience does. Well, we got to compete with sports, right?
Yeah, I think.
And that's fine.
There's a football team in the state that people
something
like.
Something like that.
So the first two concerts are on a Friday. Then, after football season is over, after the ball games beginning January 25th of 2020, then we move back to Saturday with another interesting combination of musicians here, all Americans.
Yes. Well, there's one thing about this concert. The first most important thing is that we finished a successful fundraising effort to buy percussion instruments.
Yay!
And I decided that we just need to show what we have now. So there actually will be two concerts back-to-back, one casual classics with all percussion, and the classical concert where we actually get to play a concerto for percussion as mm-hmm. well.
Joseph Schwantner, who has actually been here in this right there in that seat where you're sitting, he sat right there and I talked to him about Chasing Light, a piece that was commissioned by the Huntsville Symphony and other orchestras across the country. So you have a chance to hear Aaron Copland's Symphony No. 3, which might not be entirely familiar, but there's a part that people will definitely recognize.
Well, yeah, the Fanfare for the Common Man is in the last movement, and this is Copland's probably most extensive symphonic work. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really the American symphony by a real American composer. And we're going to start the concert off with the Cuban Overture by Gershwin,
which is one of my favorites. A fun piece to listen to on the radio. Crank the windows down, drive down the interstate. But you might not want to do
get
that.
Get arrested. I don't know.
That hasn't happened yet. But this is coming up in January, Saturday, January 25th. Gershwin's Cuban Overture, followed by the Concerto for Percussion and Orchestra, a Huntsville premiere by Joseph Schwantner, and Copland's Symphony No. 3. In February, February 15th, Ravel.
Ravel and the trombones, to be precise. I think the trombones just as important part of this concert than the amazing music of Maurice Ravel. We're actually playing both suites of Daphnis and Chloe. One of them actually requires a humming chorus, so mm-hmm. we're going to have a small choir on stage as well. And we're also playing a short piano piece orchestrated by the composer himself. So three Ravel pieces, and then kind of like a sandwich, we have two concertos. One is by Creston for trombone, and I invited the principal trombone player of the Hungarian Radio Symphony to play that. He's going to be in the United States teaching master classes, and so he's going to stop by. And then team up for the second half with Prentice Hobbs, our principal trombone player, and play a double concerto for two trombones.
And the trombone doesn't get a lot of time in the spotlight with the symphony.
And it should. I think it's a great instrument.
So you'll have a chance to hear the trombone being featured with this music of Maurice Ravel live on stage, and we'll be doing the first two suites from Daphnis and Chloe. It sounds a little bit like this. At least the first one does. Another work with a chorus, not quite as exuberant, maybe, as the Beethoven 9, but there's still a chorus.
It's a beautiful sound, though, mixing Wordless choir with orchestra, and Ravel did that really nicely here. And of course, you know, this is ballet music, right? Mm-hmm. So the two suites out of a full evening ballet, and I think it's just... probably one of the greatest moments of, or quite a few of the greatest moments that Ravel ever composed.
Ravel is featured in February. Then in March, I went to the rehearsal the last time you were at First Baptist Church of Huntsville. What a lovely location it is.
Yes, it's not only beautiful, but it sounds really nice. And I think our audience likes it. I mean, it's comfortable to go there. And if you pick the right music, then I think it's just perfect to do a classical concert.
And I don't think you've done the Four Seasons since you've been here.
We have not done the Four Seasons.
But everybody loves the Four Seasons.
So we're doing
it. Okay, all right, finally.
Thank you.
the opening of the very popular spring concerto, but you can hear not just spring, not
all
just
four
fall.
Seasons. All four seasons.
All four seasons.
And in the second half of the concert, I programmed an early composition by Richard Strauss, mm-hmm. which is called From Italy.
Uh-huh.
And it's really a symphonic poem, but it has, you know, the form and the scope of a symphony. And it has just fun and somewhat familiar, I guess, Italian melodies in it, which is very rare with Strauss. You know, he was trying to paint a musical picture of his Italian trip.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be at the First Baptist Church of Huntsville coming up in March, in this very cozy, intimate environment there. But then you move back for your last concert in May, back to the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall for a little bit of everything. How would you if you're going to put a title on this last concert, what would you call that?
All the pieces Gregory wants to conduct. That's the title of the concert. It's a Schubert overture I have not done before, a Fiera Bra overture, and then Beethoven Triple Concerto, mm-hmm. which we're going to hear a little excerpt from. And I'm bringing in soloists that you've met before.
Emilio Colon,
some
yeah.
Some soloists that you haven't. Mm-hmm. And all three of them are great. And this is one of the unique pieces in music history where you actually do have three equally important solo parts for a concerto. And then the Lieutenant KJ Suite by Prokofiev.
Everybody loves, yeah.
And Scriabin, the poem of ecstasy, which is actually the title of the concert. And this is like a 20-minute long symphonic poem, very colorful and very powerful, and it just shows what this wonderful AGSO can do.
Like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, this piece doesn't get a whole lot of airplay here, but I've never heard or seen it performed.
Well, come to the symphony
is
all I have to say.
Yeah. We just gave you a brief overview of all of the concerts that are coming up with the HSO, but as the concerts approach, we'll talk about what a character Alexander Scriabin was in May and get more into the music. But if you're interested in anything that's going on at the Huntsville Symphony, their website is fantastic. It's hso.org. And what else do we need to know about the upcoming season?
Well, we're going to have actually two concerts, Pops concerts with orchestra. One is above the silver screen, mm-hmm. and the other one is John Williams, guess what? Of course, we continue our casual classic series. One of them, as I mentioned, is going to be an all percussion concert. That's going to be at the VBC, but we're also going to return to some of the unusual venues that we visited in the last couple of years. And one of the concerts is going to be the second edition of our yoga concerts. And we're going to play...
That was really popular.
It was popular, and I was positively surprised. And I'm happy to, you know, come up with another idea what music you can play.
Well, you've already done 433.
Yes, we've done the silent music. But now this is going to be Bach's variations, the Goldberg variations, but in a string version. So
okay.
we have a double string trio, and they're going to alternate. You know, this is a piece that I think it's great for meditation anyway, but it's between 50 and 60 minutes long, and it's very demanding. It's originally for the keyboard, but there is this pretty popular version for violin, viola, and cello. So we're going to have six musicians alternating playing this without stopping. So this is going to be 60 minutes of music straight from Johann Sebastian Bach.
So the musicians are going to have
to
They're going to have to be magical and do the yoga before they perform or train somehow, cross-train, to play this lengthy piece. And again, so many fun things going on with the HSO. It's accessible, it's fun, it's family-friendly. There's no reason not to go.
And I like this format. We should preview every season like this.
Yes.
Because this actually gives an idea of what we do and what to expect and mm-hmm. when to keep your calendar free for our concerts, right?
Thanks for everything that you do.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.